Welcome to Follow the Bible with David Hoff. Today we'll examine some verses, trusting they will strengthen your faith in God and His Holy Word. And now for our study.
Hello, and welcome again to our Bible study. This is part 8 in our series in the book of Mark, and we are learning about the beginning of the 3.5-year earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus. We left off last time when Jesus was teaching in a synagogue in the city of Capernaum. Capernaum was located in the northern part of Israel near the Sea of Galilee. This region was named Galilee after the nearby sea. Let's continue our reading of what happened when Jesus was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. We read in the book of Mark in chapter 1 and starting in verse 23, "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." We read that there was a man with an unclean spirit indwelling him, to use the language of this account. The unclean spirit was an evil spirit or devil. The devils are headed up by Satan, who is the chief of the devils. So this passage describes someone who is indwelled by a devil. We just read about how Jesus cast out the devil. We read several times in the gospel accounts of the ministry of the Lord Jesus about Jesus casting out devils. As a result of this, there are people interested in trying to cast out devils themselves. And they will look around for devils and try to cast those devils out of people, or in some other way fight against the devils. As a result, a lot of their attention becomes focused upon devils, and finally this can result in the devil himself being glorified. We want to remember that the important thing is our standing with God. Specifically, are we saved? Is the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior? If Jesus is our Savior, we have eternal security in God, and neither the devil nor anyone else can separate us from the love of God. We read about this truth in many places in the Bible. For example, we read in the book of Romans in chapter 8, starting in verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God is promising that once God has saved us, that nothing, and that includes the devil, can separate us from the love of God. The important thing is salvation, our relationship with God. We read about the necessity of salvation in many passages. For example, we read in the book of Romans in chapter 2, and starting in verse 6, we read there, speaking of God, "who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." In this passage, God says that He will render or return to us according to our works or our actions. If we are saved, we will do good works in God's sight, and Romans chapter 2 says that we will receive blessings, glory, and honor. But if we remain unsaved, we will receive God's wrath, which includes the conscious affliction of tribulation and anguish. So salvation is very important. It delivers us from the sufferings of hell and brings us the wonderful blessings of heaven. We read the same teaching in the book of Luke in chapter 16. There, God uses two men as an illustration of the two destinations for mankind. One man, a rich man, represents those that remain unsaved. Another man, a poor man named Lazarus, represents the saved. We read in Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared scrumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they that would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In this illustration, the rich man had many good things of this world, but finally he died. Then the next thing he experiences is torment or conscious affliction. But this poor man did not have much in this world. He was trying to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He died also, but he went to heaven in the highest blessings of God. Again, this passage emphasizes the importance of salvation, both to deliver us from the afflictions of hell and so that we might receive the highest blessings of God in heaven. Thus, the important thing is our relationship with God, and when God saves us, then we have eternal security in Christ. This prompts us to ask a question. Why then does the Bible give these accounts of Jesus casting out devils if we are not to worry about the devil? I believe the point that God is emphasizing is that before salvation, we are in the devil's dominion, this world, and are under his authority. God talks about how we are under the authority of the devil in several passages. We read about the devil having authority over the unsaved in the book of Acts in chapter 26. Here, God is speaking through the Apostle Paul and is recounting a message that he received from God, giving him instructions to be a witness of the gospel. God is instructing the Apostle Paul, and we read starting in verse 16, But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Here God is telling the Apostle Paul, through this messenger, that he will bring the gospel message that people might be saved. We read that one of the results of salvation is that we are delivered, quote, from the power of Satan unto God. The word power is normally used in the sense of authority. We read a similar teaching in the book of Colossians. We read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, speaking of the Lord Jesus, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Upon salvation, we are delivered from the power or authority of darkness, that is, the devil. So when God saves us, he delivers us from the authority of the devil. And I believe that this is what Jesus is teaching by casting devils out of people. It is not that people in general have devils indwelling them. Rather, God uses many figures in teaching gospel truth. And a devil being cast out of someone is a figure that this person has been freed from the devil's authority or dominion. And that is a big blessing of salvation, that we have been delivered from the devil's authority and dominion. We want to keep in mind that when God saves us, we are completely protected from the devil. He cannot harm us in any way. We read about the security that the true believer has in God in the book of John in chapter 10. We read starting in verse 27, and the Lord Jesus is speaking, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. God is greater than all, including the devil, And upon salvation, we are eternally protected by God and are in His hand. We read about the eternal security of the true believer also in the book of Psalms. We read in Psalm 103 and verse 17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children." God's mercies are forevermore when we have become saved. We read a similar statement about the blessings and eternal security that the true believer has in the book of Jeremiah. We read in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." These are a few of the verses that speak of the wonderful blessings and security that the true believer has in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible does warn us that we must be on guard about the devil. We read in the first book of Peter in chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." We must be on guard for the devil, just like we must be on guard for temptations that other people bring to us. Likewise, we must be on guard against temptations that our own bodies bring to us. So the true believer must always be on guard. God tells us how to deal with the devil in the book of James, and in chapter 4 and verse 7, we read there, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you." God tells us to resist the devil. We do this by following the Bible, the instructions that God gives us, and turning away from temptations that others bring to us. And this includes turning away from temptations that come out of our own mind. In the book of Ephesians and in chapter 6, God gives us more instructions on resisting temptation and the devil. We read starting in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." God is telling us how to deal with the devil and any temptation. Specifically, God says that we are to put on, quote, "the whole armor of God." God is picturing the walk of the true believer in this world by using the figure of a soldier from centuries past. In those days, soldiers had armor and shields and swords. These items provided both defensive protection and offensive ability. God is using this figure to describe how the true believer is protected from the devil and temptations. The figure of the offensive weapons points to the fact that the true believer is to be a warrior in this world for God by publishing the Bible that others might be saved. We are not to fight against governments or people in their sin. Rather, we are to bring the gospel of peace that people might be reconciled with God. All of the figures that God uses in this passage in the book of Ephesians relate to the Bible. For example, we read, quote, "the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The Bible is pictured as a sword. God also talks about the breastplate of righteousness. We are protected by God's righteousness. Also, we read that our loins are girt about with truth. God's truth is our protection. In this figure, we're wearing the, quote, "helmet of salvation." These are all figures that point back to God and to the Bible, the Word of God, as our source of truth and protection. When Jesus was confronted by the devil, he answered by quoting from the Bible, the Old Testament that was available in those days. The devil tried to tempt the Lord Jesus into sin, but Jesus gives the way to deal with the devil and any kind of temptation, specifically to go back to the Bible. We read in the book of Luke in chapter 4, starting in verse 6, "And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus quotes from the Bible. As we learn more from the Bible, we are better prepared to deal with the devil and with temptation. Another reason that there is no point in worrying about if someone is infilled by a devil is because generally we cannot know if the devil is infilling someone. One out of the 12 apostles was named Judas. He was the one that betrayed the Lord Jesus. The Bible indicates that Judas was infilled by the devil when Jesus had his last supper with the 12 apostles before he went to the cross. Even when the chief of the devil, Satan, was indwelling Judas, the other 11 apostles did not even know it. We learn this truth from the book of John in chapter 13. We read starting in verse 1 of John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, we see at this point that the devil is guiding Judas to betray the Lord Jesus. This is because Judas was still unsaved and was still under the authority of the devil. Next, we skip down to verse 21 of this chapter. We read starting in verse 21, When Jesus had said thus, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it unto Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He, then having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. The word sop is the Old English word for a piece of bread. Jesus was having his final meal with the 12 apostles before he would go and suffer on the cross for the believer's sins. We read that after Jesus gave Judas the sop, or piece of bread, that Satan entered into Judas. But we don't read that the other 11 apostles had any idea that Satan had entered into Judas. Judas went out to betray the Lord Jesus, and the other apostles did not know why Judas had gone out. Thus, when Judas was infilled by the devil, the other apostles did not even know it. Normally, we cannot tell if someone is infilled by a devil or someone may have a medical or mental condition that causes them to act in a strange manner. Thus, there is no point in focusing upon if a devil indwells someone. Rather, until salvation, we all need the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Whether we have a devil or not, we still need the Savior. So we can always profitably pray for people that God might save them. During the 3.5-year earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus, we do read several accounts of Jesus casting out devils. And maybe we wonder why that was an issue in the days of Jesus, but not in our days. Perhaps the answer is that the devil and the fallen angels have their prime fight against the Lord Jesus because he is God. And perhaps because of that, they were more active during the 3.5-year earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus. Also, as we read the Old Testament and New Testament, we don't find very many examples of people being infilled by a devil. With this overview done, let's consider some more specific truths that we can learn from this passage in Mark chapter 1. Let's read again starting from verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. This unclean or evil spirit is speaking through this man. This evil spirit talks to the Lord Jesus and refers to him as the, quote, Holy One of God. Jesus is the Holy One of God because he is God, and God is holy. Sometimes people think that the devil will flee when you mention the name of the Lord Jesus. or that the devils would never talk to Jesus. But we can see that these statements are not true. The devil is not afraid to have a conversation with the Lord Jesus or about the Lord Jesus. The important thing is that we read the Bible and pray for understanding and obedience. That way we are protected from the devil and his people. This devil says to Jesus, "Let us alone." The devils want God to leave them alone so they can continue in their sinful actions. But God will not do that. The Lord Jesus, who is God, is going to cast this devil out of this man, which is a picture of God saving us and delivering us from the authority or dominion of the devil. We notice another interesting thing that the devil says, which is, quote, "What have we to do with thee?" What does God have to do with the devils? We see that God rules over the devils by the fact that God will cast this devil out of this man. The Lord Jesus is God, and God is the judge of all the earth. We read this truth in a number of verses. For example, we read in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 82 and verse 8, "Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations." Also, we read in Psalm 96 and verse 13, "Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth." The Bible is clear that God is the ruler and the judge of all the earth, including the judge of mankind and of fallen angels. We read in the book of Revelation, in chapter 20 and verse 10, that the devil, the chief of the fallen angels, is also subject to the wrath of God. We read there, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So let's go back to the devil's statement in Mark chapter 1 when they ask Jesus, quote, "What have we to do with thee?" The Bible answers this question by saying that God rules over everything, including these devils. Let's continue our examination of this passage. We will read from Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 25. We read there, "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him." Jesus has authority over everything and everyone. This devil was arguing with Jesus and making certain statements and certain demands. But God rebuked him. Next, God will command the devil to come out of him, because God rules over the devils and gives the commands. We see that Jesus gave the devil two commands. First, Jesus silenced the devil. He commands the devil to, quote, "hold thy peace." This Greek word means to be put to silence. We see in the next verse that the devil cries with a loud voice when he is cast out, but this command by Jesus ended any discussion or demands by the devil. Next, Jesus commanded the devil to come out. We see in the next verse that the devil did come out of the man. And this is because Jesus, who is God, has all power and authority. So when Jesus commands, it will happen, whether the devils or men like it. We want to remember that the important teaching in the casting out of the devil is the teaching of salvation. When God saves us, he takes us out of the devil's dominion and puts us into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. The devil no longer rules over us. And that truth is pictured by the devil being cast out of this man. Upon salvation, the Spirit of God comes to indwell us. Simply casting out a devil, even if we could do it, does not provide any security for us. Jesus gives us an illustration in the book of Matthew in chapter 12 that shows that casting out a devil does not provide security. We read starting in verse 43, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then he goeth, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." Here Jesus is talking about an unclean or evil spirit that has left a man. This man was indwelt by this evil spirit, but later the spirit left him. But after some time, the spirit came back to the man and indwelled him again. And what is worse is that this devil came with seven other spirits more wicked than himself. The end result for that man was worse than the beginning. Now he has eight evil spirits, and the other seven are worse than the first one he had. What is the message that Jesus is teaching here? The message is that casting out a devil is not the solution to anyone's problems. The solution is that the Lord Jesus Christ must become our Savior. In the next verse in Mark chapter 1, we read that the evil spirit came out of the man. We read in verse 26, "And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him." The Bible says that this evil spirit tore the man. We get more help in understanding what that word means by looking at another account when Jesus cast out a devil. We read another such account also in the book of Mark, and in chapter 9, starting in verse 17, we read there, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire, and into the waters, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, and help us." Jesus also does cast this devil out. But we see how many awful things that this devil does to the Son. And this reminds us of how the devil is out to harm mankind. We always want to keep in mind that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save man from his sins. Yet the devil is always out to harm mankind. We want to get our attention off of the devil and put it on the Lord Jesus by reading the Bible and crying out to him for mercy. This completes our time for this week. Until our next study, may the Lord richly bless you.
Thank you for listening. Please join us again next time. We have prepared a book and study guide on salvation that we would love to send to you. Please write today for your free copy. Our address is Follow the Bible Ministries, P.O. Box 1332, Alameda, California, 94501. Our website is followthebibleministries.com. Email us at followthebibleministries@yahoo.com. Follow the Bible Ministries is entirely listener supported. The contributions of listeners like you enable us to continue broadcasting on this station. May the Word of God dwell in you richly.